Well, let's open a prayer. Father, we thank you so much for your presence in our lives. We thank you for your plan, the plan of salvation that includes bodily healing. Lord, we thank you that it is your will that we live long and that we fulfill the number of our days in good health on this earth. So, Lord, we thank you for the renewing of the mind. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're here to enlighten us, to open up our understanding to the truth, these truths of your word, to show us the things we need to see so that we can walk in this wonderful provision. So, Lord, we just thank you today that you give us ears to hear. You open up our eyes, give us eyes to see. And thank you, Lord, for utterance this morning for me, that I would be able to open my mouth and boldly proclaim this message with clarity and to deliver it in such a way that it brings understanding. So we just thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. I'm going to do, of course, today, most of everybody in here are people that have been here for a while. So this is a very foundational message, and I'm going to be doing that for a reason, because I just feel like, you know, you can never overestimate the value of a good foundation. and that is because foundations, even though they're not visible, even though a foundation of a house, you know, when somebody's building a new home, that's an exciting thing. You know, it's exciting to build a new home. It's an exciting time. Most people's focus when they're building a new home is on things like how many bedrooms they're going to have and how big of a living space they're going to have and what their kitchen is going to be like, all the state-of-the-art appliances that are available today, and a bathroom that's only second to a spa. You know, the things that people put into homes today, you know, we get all wrapped up in things like carpeting colors and paints and cabinetry and hardware and just you name it, you know, right down to the little nitty gritty things. But who ever sits and dreams about the foundation of the house? Whoever, when they're building a home, who dreams about the foundation? Who dreams about, oh, a beautiful foundation, how, you know, how many courses of block there's going to be in it and how the footings are going to be laid. And yet that is, and I would bet that an engineer would say this, that is probably the most important part of the house, is that foundation. Because if the foundation isn't laid properly, they have what they call compounding defects. If a foundation isn't laid square, then as the house is being built, they build on top of the footings, they lay the courses of block, and then they start. My dad was a builder. And then they begin to build the superstructure until they get up, they frame the house, they get up to the roof. And if something was wrong with that foundation, it's going to show when the roof is on, everybody's going to know something was out of square. Something wasn't right. And so how much of a comparison could we say that would be to a Christian's building? Especially when it comes to a house of healing, a life of healing, that if we have an improper foundation, if our foundation isn't sure, if it isn't square, if it isn't scriptural, or all kinds of things will go through our minds and come out of our mouths about it. I was recently talking to somebody who's got a family member who's ill, asking how they were, and out of their mouth was, well, God can heal them. And I thought, well, that, of course God can heal them. No, nobody questions whether God can heal them. That doesn't mean they're going to be healed. We could use that same thinking with, well, God could save them. How many of you know somebody in your life right now who is an absolute God hater, God rejecter? Yes, Megan, yes, we all do. We probably all have somebody in our family who wants nothing to do with God. Well, what would we say about them? Well, God could save them. Well, yeah, God could save them, but it involves more than God. They're involved in that process. And so, yes, God could heal people. And then it's not just that God could heal people. Then you also get into the issue of, what if someone comes along and they were raised in a church and they were taught improperly? That would be like having a faulty foundation. How many times have they had to go in and buy, and maybe somebody buys a fixer-upper, and they find out after they bought the fixer-upper that it was really a fixer-upper. The foundation was bad on it. Sometimes they have to do really extreme things, like jack that house right up off the foundation and rebuild the foundation. Well, why do they do that? They do that to extend the life of the home, don't they? because the foundation could be crumbling and disintegrating. And if a foundation is sinking and settling improperly, what's that going to do? It's going to cause cracks in the wall. And, you know, homes that are not built properly, those are the kinds of things people deal with. Well, those things are all true in the life of Christians. If our foundations aren't solid and sure, if our foundations aren't properly laid when it comes to any of the belief systems we have, whether it has to do with our physical healing or our financial health or how we're supposed to relate to other people, all of these really, really important things, these are important things. If we don't have the proper foundation laid, well, then whatever we tried to put on top of that, it's going to be faulty. It's going to be faulty, and we're going to respond in a faulty way to people. We're going to handle our money in a faulty way. We're going to think about our physical health in a faulty way. You guys, you know, I always have to bring this up, but when I hear people start talking old age, boy, you get me fired up. That gets me fired up when I start hearing people talk about old age. Now, there's times I think about things like, it seems like some days it's a little more challenging than others to do certain things. And those thoughts will creep into your head. Well, you know, you're getting older. You're not as young as you used to be. And while those things are true, do I have to settle for that to be a limiter in my life? No. No, it's a fact that we're getting older. You know, some of us have been, and how many years has it been since you guys came to that Bible study? What year was that? Almost 30 years ago, back at Rick's. You think about that. We were kids, sort of. We were just kids. And that's a lot of years. You know, when you think 30 years or 35 years or 40 years, that's a long time. Well, a lot can change. Physically, things can change. But if your foundation isn't strong, if you don't have a foundation established, now I'm talking about established, which is really what this church is about getting people's hearts established. That's talking about foundations. When we talk about having a heart that's established from Psalm 112, his heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord, his heart is established, that's talking about a foundation. That's not talking about all the superstructure that's above ground. That's talking about what's built, what's your life built on. If we're not built on the foundation of solid healing principles, solid financial principles, how to relate to other people in our lives, our marriages, our all the different relationships we're involved in, well, then the superstructure is going to be faulty and everybody can see it. You know, I was just a laugh. My dad, we could go into a house and my dad could look at a wall and could tell you if it was out of square. He just had such an eye for that kind of thing. Other people might not see it because he was a builder. He saw it. He built nice quality homes and, you know, he didn't scrimp. Sometimes my dad took a loss on homes he built. But he believed in building a quality home. Well, he could see if something wasn't right. Well, oftentimes that's how we are. We can, you know, it's not wrong to observe that in someone's life if something's out of square. There's a foundation problem there. And sometimes you have to go through extreme measures. You have to jack that superstructure up to rebuild the foundation. And sometimes that's what happens with Christians. People will come in. They've been taught improperly. Maybe when it comes to healing, they've been taught that God doesn't heal. That healing, or that if God does heal, it's all up to God. This is all, it's all God's responsibility. You know, well, if God wants to, he can. Or if God is willing, he can. But in this case, you know, people have all these funny little belief systems that are in play. People get angry because somebody gets sick and doesn't get well. People sometimes get angry with God about those. That's all due to a faulty foundation of healing. Questionings, why didn't God do this or why didn't God do that? That's a faulty foundation. That's a faulty foundation. And sometimes that requires extreme things. Jack that house up and get to work on that foundation. Sometimes you have to demolish the foundation that's there. You might have footings that are still there, but you might have to rebuild on top of those footings a brand new foundation so that house is solid and sure and that life doesn't have cracked walls. Or, you know, parts of it that are collapsing, that are unstable and unsafe. And that's just exactly how important foundational teachings like this are. Sometimes we think, well, I've heard this before. I know that. How many of you have watched a movie over the years? You've watched a movie maybe, And you maybe you've it's a favorite movie and you've watched it, and every time you watch it, you see something else. You see another little thing that explains the story a little bit better. That happens to us all the time. You know, you have certain favorite movies or certain favorite things that you've seen again. Well, the Word is like that. We may hear a truth, and we may accept that truth, and we may incorporate it into our lives, but the more you feed on that truth, the more revelation, the more light, the more inspiration, illumination you get from it. And as even those that have been in a church that has taught a healing message, you're going to continue to hear things that are going to help you understand why you're not walking more fully in that truth. That's why we can never shut off. You know, I remember when I was younger, Brother Hagin, I would listen to a Brother Hagin teaching and I'd hear him telling a story. And I think, oh, here we go again. I've heard this story a gazillion times. I've heard him tell this story. Can he come up with some new stories? But the thing is his stories were so inspired of God, he could tell that story and apply it in a different setting every time and have it make sense. It was just so inspiring. But if you shut down, if you shut that off, you're cutting off the possibility and the potential of seeing the fullness of what needs to be seen in that particular situation. So foundational teachings are really important. And so some of what we talk about through this this teaching may sound like, oh, come on, let's get into some deeper, meatier things. Well, let's get the foundation laid first. Amen. So first of all, before you even lay a foundation, footings have to be laid. Footings are forms, concrete forms that are laid down or poured, and then they lay courses of block on top of that. And so one of the first footings, as far as I'm concerned, when it comes to healing, we've already established that it's God's will to heal, so we're not questioning that, but it's just, how do people get healed? You know, how many times do we just leave it all up to God? We're just waiting on God for something. No, God's waiting on us. We don't have to wait on God. When it comes to healing, we don't wait on God. God's already done his part. It's not a waiting on God to move in some way or to do something miraculous or spectacular in our lives. He's waiting on us. He's waiting on us to respond to what he's done already through grace. He's waiting for us to respond in faith to what he's already done by grace. So how do people get healed? And, you know, the majority, if you read through the Gospels, the majority of the people that got healed in the Gospel accounts through the ministry of Jesus were healed based on their own faith. They weren't miraculous things. Now, if you're not reading with an intuitive mind or with a questioning mind, you might think, well, Jesus is just like waving a magic wand over all these people and healing them. But that's not at all what's happening. Most of these healing accounts, of the 19 major healing accounts, 10 of them mention directly or infer that the person's faith was involved in their healing. It was their faith. It wasn't Jesus picking them out and saying, hey, you, come on up here, I'm going to heal you. Or, hey, you over there in the crowd, I'm going to pick you out and heal you. And yet I think that is in some way how many Christians feel. They're just waiting for God to pick them out of the crowd, call them out, and heal them. Now, we know that happens. We know that happens, but that isn't God's primary way to heal. God loves people so much, he's provided many different ways of ministering to us. One of which is the gifts of the Spirit. But, you know, the sad thing, it's wonderful to get healed but through the gifts of the Spirit, but the sad side of that is most of the time, the same belief systems that got them sick or kept them sick are still there. So even though they might get healed, in most cases, it's temporary. And we have seen that time and time again because that person will not go. They may see a momentary or temporary reprieve, but they don't go and spend the time getting that foundation laid or relaid or rebuilt again, of getting those faulty beliefs replaced, getting those faulty beliefs pulled out and replaced so that they could build a solid belief system on top of that, a solid life of healing on top of that. And so getting healed, the main thing, if we need to take responsibility for healing in our lives and not be waiting on God. Well, I'm just waiting. I know God can do it. I know he can. God can heal me. Like I said, this person I was talking to said, God can heal them. God can heal that person. Well, of course, that isn't even a question. That isn't even an issue that God can do it. And there's times where Jesus would have people approach him and they would say, if you will, you know, if you will, I know I can be healed. Well, what was Jesus' immediate answer? I will. I will. It's my will. I will. I will. That is my will to do that. They believed if he was willing, they'd be healed. So let's just look here again. Just bear with me. I want to walk through just some of these healing accounts. And it may seem redundant to do this, but I want to do it just to get it established that these people, their faith was involved in this. It wasn't just God or Jesus reaching out and doing something on their behalf, ministering to them, taking care of needs they had. These people were involved in the process. So let's look first of all at John chapter 4. If we don't get these things established in our lives, if we don't get these systems, a solid foundation established, when things come along, and things do come along, you know, we're, as REAM directors, we constantly are hearing about people around the country. These are Word of Faith people who have died and gone home early. A lot of them are ministers. Doug Jones will send out something, it's with great sorrow that I announce such and such. And it seems like a rash of them lately. And if you're not smart, if you don't have these things established in your life, you will begin to question, what's going on? I don't get it. These were preachers. These were word of faith people. What's going on? Why is God letting this happen? Why didn't God heal them? Why didn't God keep that from happening? One of them was a horrible accident. You know, people will ask these questions. Why did that happen? Well, when you have a solid foundation in place, those questions can come, but you deal with them immediately. Because the first and foremost thing we know is that God is good and God is just and God is never allows things to happen, you know, in a negative, detrimental way. And that sometimes is some of the most deadly beliefs or doctrine that people embrace. So John chapter 4, verse 46, where this is the account of the nobleman's son. So Jesus came again into Cana of Galilee, where he made the water wine. And there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. When he had heard that Jesus was come out of Judah into Galilee, he went unto him and besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. So he must have heard something. What did he hear? He must have heard something about Jesus, that he would travel to go get to this place to talk to him, to seek him out. Then said Jesus unto him, except you see signs and wonders, you will not believe. The nobleman said unto him, sir, come down ere my child die. Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy son liveth. And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him and went his way. So in that particular case, that man's faith, and if you go all the way down to it, you find out, if you read this whole account, you find out that this man's faith was involved in this. Jesus wasn't seeking this man out. Jesus wasn't, I sense by my spirit that there is a young boy in Capernaum. There's this young man there that is dying. He's at the point of death, and I need to find his father, and I need to seek him out, and I need to minister to him. Jesus was just going along doing his thing. This man had heard something that caused a response of faith in him to go seek Jesus out to come and minister to his son. Well, we know what the situation is. Jesus said, I'll just send my word. the word's been sent to us. Amen. We have just the same situation is true in our lives. The word has been sent to us. This man believed the word that Jesus spoke. And they find out when he goes home that that boy was healed at the same time that Jesus had spoken those words to him. So then another account is the paralytic man. Of course, we know this is the man who was brought by his four friends. And that account is in Matthew chapter 9, Mark chapter 2, and Luke chapter 5. And we know this is a wonderful story where these men bring their friend on a stretcher. They bring him to this place where Jesus is ministering. Some people believe it was in Peter's house. They bring him. The house is so packed full of unbelievers, skeptics, critics that there isn't room to get this man in there. And we know it tells us in this account that the power of God was present to heal. And they're so desperate to get this guy into the healing presence of God that they tear the roof off and lower him down into the presence of healing. Well, once again, faith is involved here. First of all, faith on the part of these men who are bringing their friend. They're so sure that they're going to get him, that he's going to be healed, that they risk ripping a guy's roof apart to lower him into the presence of the healing presence of God. The man on the stretcher, he was paralyzed. Now, I don't know about you, but that would be a very risky thing to be laying on a little pallet. You know, these aren't these wonderful things we have today where people are all strapped in and secure and stabilized. He was probably on a board or something, being jostled around and being brought through this, you know, trying to get him in through this crowd of people and then them not even allowing him to get in. Being taken up on a roof and lowered down through a hole in the roof to get him into the presence, that healing presence. Again, what faith is involved in things like that? You know, we tell people, look, if you're sick, unless you're so sick you cannot even stand up, come to church when you're sick. Oh, I'm afraid of infecting people. Come on. Come to church. What does the Bible say? Call for the elders of the church. Let them anoint you with oil. Let's have... Those guys were so desperate to get him into that healing presence of God. You know what it is? We have to overcome the discomfort. We have to overcome how miserable we might feel to get there. But those, can you see the comparison here? This man had to be miserable. There had to be just a certain level of discomfort and just timidity and maybe even fear about being taken into that situation, being brought into the situation where there's all of these critics and the religious leaders who weren't there for any good reasons. They were there only as questioners, critics, and they were only there to try to catch Jesus doing something wrong. And so there's faith involved. There was faith, and we know again, it says that Jesus in Matthew chapter 9, verses 2 through 8. In verse 2, it says, Jesus seeing their faith. Isn't that interesting? Now, you know, it wasn't like there was this little balloon of faith with words in it over their heads like you see in the comics, you know. What was it that he saw? He saw actions. He saw actions of faith. He saw something that told him these people were in faith. He saw it. He saw their faith. All three of the accounts here, for this particular healing account, Matthew's, Mark's, and Luke's all say the same thing. Jesus saw their faith. Is Jesus seeing our faith? If there's an area of your life, whether it's healing or financial or relationship issues, maybe you're looking, you need a job, whatever it is, there's so many things we face, you know, in life that are challenges. Would Jesus see our faith? Is there anything that we're doing that's an action, that's a response to what God says he desires for us? Is there anything that we're doing that would appear to be a faith action? Now, we know better. We're not talking about works that we're trying to twist something out of God's hand, crowbar it out of his hand. We're not talking about that. We're talking about, I believe this, and this is my response because I believe this. And, you know, you should have something like that in your life all the time, something that you are stretching towards that requires faith to do it, whether it's a healing, a step of healing or financial. You're believing to expand financially. Well, then you should be stretching financially. Relationships. If I'm just lonely, nobody likes me, I don't have any friends. Well, have you shown yourself friendly? So there's things we need to do that demonstrate faith. Because we know what God's word says. So they're responses of faith to what God says belongs to us. So these guys, they're showing something here. They're showing some faith here by stepping out and doing what they're doing. Jesus saw their faith. Then, in Matthew chapter 8 and Luke chapter 7, we have the account of the centurion servant. In Matthew chapter 8, we'll just read. I'm not going to read all of these, but let's just read Matthew's account. Verse 5, it says, and when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home, sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus said, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said, I have not found so great faith, no, not in all of Israel. So here again, we see a man replying, responding in faith. He understood authority. He understood that if Jesus just spoke the word, that his servant would be healed. So again, there's faith involved. Sometimes that's all you can do is speak the word. Sometimes all you can do is just, there's nothing else you can do in that situation. There's no physical actions you can take, but you can speak the word. You can declare God's word over that situation. You can declare it in faith. And when you declare God's words, as if that is the bottom line, that's faith. That is the final authority. That's what the word is there for. Amen. That is what it's for. It's for us to inject it into that situation, to change that situation from the foundation up. Again, we're talking about foundations. Inject that in there to cause that situation to turn around. Sometimes that's all we can do is speak the word. And to hold fast to that in spite of how things appear. You know, if you've ever fought your way through a healing situation, day after day after day, you have to hold fast to the profession of your faith. Sometimes there's nothing else you can do. There's no medical thing you can do. There's no treatments. You can't go get a pill for it. There's nothing that can be done. They've told you this isn't going to get better. This is going to continue to deteriorate. It's going to get worse. You know, and it could lead to this, and this, and they paint a very grim picture. You know, we're not against going to doctors. Sometimes doctors help us really identify what the problem is. Sometimes people are afraid to go to the doctor to hear what the doctor has to say. I don't want to go. I don't want to find out what this lump is. I don't want to find out what's causing this pain. Well, that's not faith. That's fear. Let the doctor identify the problem. Why? So that you can speak the name that's above every name over it. He said, I am the Lord that healeth thee, Jehovah Rapha. So we can speak the name that's above every name. You know, we shouldn't, a doctor's diagnosis should not put fear into our hearts. It should never put fear into our hearts. That's just a diagnosis. That's just the doctor's opinion. We have a much higher opinion. Amen. It's God's opinion, God's word. So we go to the doctor tells us what we're dealing with. Now we know who our enemy is. We know what the enemy is. We know what we can be speaking against. We know how to apply the word in that situation. And again, as Sean was sharing last week, I loved his illustration of the board, the resistance. That there's times, you know, we are so quick to just start spouting out the word. Just spew the word out. You know, we need to spend some time meditating in healing scriptures and allow the Holy Spirit to show us exactly how to approach the situation and what to speak over it. Sometimes he will just, in our case, when I was dealing with some things in my neck and my arm, or I was in bad shape. I really had injured some things in my neck. And I was standing, and one day, as Dwayne and I were praying about it, he just got a revelation that, you know, in a husband-wife relationship, the Bible tells us that our bodies are not our own, that our bodies belong to our spouse. He took that literally in a healing situation, that, look, this is my body, and I'm declaring my body healed. And so he came alongside of me, and the two of us together were able to deal with that in a much more powerful way. But, you know, that was a revelation, and we need to go to God at times and find out specifically, Lord, how do I apply your word in this? How do I, that's where meditation comes in. We spend time meditating in the word where God will show us how to have a breakthrough in that area. It says, then you will observe how to be a doer of the word in that situation. And that's why Brother Hagin always talked about, he would gather his healing scriptures and he would read and meditate on scriptures for several days before he'd pray. Why? Because that's exactly what he was doing. He was considering his arsenal. He was looking at his arsenal and waiting for the Holy Spirit to show him which was the most effective weapon to use in that situation. So our words, having the word at our disposal is a powerful weapon. Go to the doctor. We never say don't go to the doctor. Go to the doctor. Let the doctor help identify. Let the doctor help you hold those symptoms at bay until your healing is fully manifested. That is not unbelief. We are not against doctors. We always say doctors are in a helps ministry. They just are there to help you until you see your way through that to the full healing. So, and this applies in every area, not just healing. This applies in your financial dealings, in your relationship dealings. If you have an issue with fear in your life, or we could just go on and on and on, all the kinds of things that afflict human beings. God has an answer for every single one of them. And it's his word first and foremost. But the Holy Spirit wants to shed light on the word and show us exactly how to apply that in our lives. Exactly how do I apply this, Lord? What is the, we would say the rhema for this situation? What is it? What is it? How do I apply that in this situation? He will, as you're reading the word, he'll just show you something. Something will pop out. Something will just jump off the page at you, or in my case, oftentimes I see things. I'll just see a picture of something, and the Lord will show me how to apply that. That's why the word is so absolutely important. These are foundational principles. Yes, it's fun to go, and it's fun to get miraculously healed. It's wonderful. I have to say, honestly, I don't know that I've ever had what I would consider a miraculous healing, where I've gone I'm all for it, but where I've gone and had somebody lay hands on me, I can't remember in all these years, because I've just trusted God and used my faith. Because I know the process that gets me through to that healing, that I've established this process. If those symptoms try to come back on me again, I know the process that got me healed in the first place. It'd be real easy to just brush up a little bit and tap into those and rehearse them. Whereas the person that got the miraculous healing, they didn't go through a process. They just received a touch from God. God loves us so much, he wants to keep people alive. Amen. And if a person will receive that, praise God for it. But the thing is that those belief systems that kept them sick or got them sick, or enabled them to remain in that place. A lot of times it's just in their own head. It's what they're believing, or it's a heart condition. Those things have to be touched. Those things have to be changed by the word. And it takes time to do that. It takes time to establish those foundational things in our lives. So I'm all for faith. That is the most foundational principle for healing, is faith. Get your faith developed. Know what God's word says about healing. This is the most important thing, is what does God's word say about this? And how does this apply in my life? And then we have to determine not to put up with stuff. Don't put up with it. If we're going to live long and fulfill God's will for our lives and our God's specific callings on our lives, then we have to be tenacious and not put up with things in our lives. Even though you may think, well, this isn't inconvenient enough. This isn't a big deal. This isn't that inconvenient. It could become inconvenient. It could develop into something that's very inconvenient. But start resisting, as you've heard us say so many times, start resisting that thing from the onset. If you know this does not line up with divine health, with a Zoe life, I should be resisting this. And the first way you do that is the words of your mouth. Amen.